Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 114 of Her, the podcast all about women, where we share the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and wow, we're going to talk about issues of sex in her life. Before we get into this episode, I just want to make certain you know that it's made possible by our friends at Smarty Pants Women's Complete Vitamins. They're delicious once-a-day gummies that contain the complete vitamin, mineral, folate, and omega mix customized for women. Trust me, you won't forget to take them because they taste so great. To learn more, go to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And just a quick reminder to hop on over to iTunes after our episode to rate and review this podcast. Why? Because I read these and I'd love to hear from you. So we welcome your thoughts. All right, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life. It's all about her.
Ah, wow, we're going to be talking about some pretty heavy-duty stuff. And it's about women, porn, and sex addiction. Yeah, I promised you a good one on this. And there's no one on this planet better to really share her wisdom, experience, and expertise to help us as women understand these topics than Dr. Stephanie Carnes, who is the author of Mending a Shattered Heart, a guide for partners of sex addicts and facing heartbreak, steps to recovery for partners of sex addicts and facing addiction, starting recovery from alcohol and drugs. Oh boy, Stephanie is the president of the International Institute for Trauma and Addiction Professionals, a training institute and professional organization for addiction professionals. She's also a senior fellow for Meadows Behavioral Healthcare, where she works with sexually addicted clients and their families. Dr. Carnes, welcome to the Her Podcast.
Thank you for having me, Dr. Peek.
Oh my gosh, this is such a huge topic. You know, we often focus on sex addiction in males, but this is a problem that also affects women. So what are the common ways that women manifest this? How do they struggle with this?
Yeah, thanks for asking that. This disorder for women is just so highly stigmatized that we really don't talk about it very much. We're starting to recognize it publicly for men much more. There's a lot more public figures that are coming forward, and it's being more publicized in the media, men struggling with pornography and the different problems that they have. But really, it's still very silent on the topic when it comes to women. And women are really also struggling with sex addiction and pornography as well. I am the clinical architect for a program for women that's a rehab facility for sex, love, relationship, intimacy disorders. So the kind of problems that we typically see for women are things like right now it's very popular, the hookup apps, so anonymous sex, casual sex is very popular, especially in our younger population, pornography. You know, again, in our younger population, many women have been brought up on porn and in this very highly sexualized environment. And so they're really learning about sexuality from what they see online. And that's carrying over into their behaviors. And so we see women that struggle with multiple serial relationships, anonymous hookups, pornography addiction. And sometimes we'll also another common issue that we see is women who are in exploitive type environments like prostitution, stripping, working for the porn industry, those kind of things. So it's really actually quite common for women and becoming, I think, increasingly common. And it's something that we really need to start recognizing as a problem that is also a problem for women.
Well, how do you know you have a problem? You know, as a woman, you know, out there in the Her podcast land, she's listening in and she's saying, wow, do I have a problem?
Sure.
What are some ways to evaluate that?
Yeah, so what we look for is really continuing the behavior despite adverse consequences. And so, you know, problems at work, health problems, financial repercussions as a result of the behavior, relationship consequences. We also see the behavior will often become compulsive and out of control or escalate over time to more risky, dangerous type behaviors. Sometimes we'll find women spending excessive amounts of time involved in the behavior or recovering from the behavior, making efforts to stop and not being able to stop. So those are the kind of things that we look for that would indicate that somebody has a problem.
Wow. Okay. So is sex addiction in women different than sex addiction in men?
Well, the types of behaviors that we see, oftentimes one of the things that's common for women that, and you do see this in men too, but just to a lesser degree, is there's a more relational component sometimes to their behaviors. So you might have more seduction or more emotional connection involved, like a relationship or love, like a love addiction kind of flavor to it. So it's not just about the sex. Oftentimes it includes a relational love and emotional component to it. And you do see that with men sometimes, but it's more typical to see the behavior in men surrounding behaviors that are just more about compulsive sexual behavior that doesn't have the same relational components to it.
Wow. Okay, I get it. And, you know, how does a woman heal from this? You know, how difficult is it to actually go through this healing process, especially if it happened within, you know, the domain of a couple?
Sure. Well, one of the things that's really common when you're talking about sex, love, relationship, addiction with women is to have trauma history. So it's not uncommon for women to be struggling with histories of sexual, physical, emotional abuse, neglect in the background. So when women come to treatment, they often have to heal in a very a deep way. They have to have a transformative experience and really heal a lot of their history and their old trauma wounds, as well as getting just basic skills around healthy sexuality and healthy intimacy and learning how to have healthy relationships. And so, you know, you have multiple components to treatment. Treatment is usually very comprehensive and includes, you know, things like lifestyle balance and attention to health and wellness, in addition to learning things about healthy sexuality and developing a healthy sex plan that is right for that person. We always individualize everybody's healthy sex plan to match their values and their circumstances and what behaviors they're trying to avoid, similar to an eating plan, healthy eating plan for someone that struggles with binge eating. So recovery from sex addiction is a lot more like recovery from an eating disorder than chemical dependency, because with chemical dependency, you can abstain from mood-altering chemicals, but with food and with sex, you have to learn how to have a healthy relationship with these things. So they have to make a real comprehensive plan to about what that looks like, in addition to working on their relationships and healing some of their old, you know, wounds from the past.
Is it possible for a couple to go forward after, you know, it has been found that the woman has had basically an issue with sex addiction? I mean, this is the same question you'd ask of a woman, of a man who has sex addiction. I mean, how is it different when someone is actually diagnosed with sex addiction versus just, as it were, infidelity that happened maybe once or twice?
Sure. Well, usually the biggest difference between an addiction and infidelity is the amount of behaviors and the quantity of behaviors that the person has been involved in. So usually with it, and it's always, you know, we really like to look at this as a trauma for the partner. It's really devastating for a partner to learn about their loved one's sex addiction. And we call it betrayal trauma. We use the terminology betrayal trauma because their whole world gets shattered. Everything that they thought they knew about this person, they find out was a lie because addicts are very good at covering up their tracks. And so partners go through this discovery process where they learn about the information that's been kept from them, and they learn about the sexual behaviors, and it's extremely painful for them, and traumatic. And so yes, absolutely, couples can heal from this, but it takes a lot of work. And basically what is required is the addict has to really get into recovery, and embrace principles like accountability, taking responsibility for their behaviors, being open and honest and transparent with their partner, answering the partner's questions, being really sensitive to the pain that the partner's gone through, and remorseful and apologetic, and being completely open and honest about everything. So usually with sex addiction, there's a lot of information that the partner finds out, whereas with an infidelity, it's usually about one specific relationship. And it's not to say that infidelity isn't traumatic, because that can also be traumatic for a partner. But with sex addiction, it tends to just be a lot more. And sometimes the behaviors can be a little bit more extreme. And that can be really hard for a partner to digest, that the addict's been involved in maybe more unusual behaviors or things that would be outside the person's value system. And so that's hard for a partner.
Well, based upon your years of experience in the field, what is the rate of success in treatment of sex addiction specific to women?
Unfortunately, we really don't have good research data on that. There's just a very small handful of studies, outcome studies on men, and there haven't been any on women at this point in time. We're hoping to launch one later this year. But with sex addiction, the field, just because it's been so misunderstood, so stigmatized, there has not been research funding. There's literally been one federally funded study in the field of sex addiction ever. And so it's just not something that has been given a lot of attention by researchers, unfortunately. So we're like where alcoholism was like 30 years ago, and we just have a long way to go in terms of that. But I can tell from my personal experience, couples that come in and embrace the treatment process and stay involved in treatment and do and really are involved in couples therapy and where the addict really gets involved in working a program and following through on treatment recommendations, it's amazing to me how many couples can survive this kind of, a difficult situation. So we see a lot of success, very good success rates.
Well, I think it's a tough call. I think you and I both know that researchers, a handful are now just beginning to delve into everything from brain scanning to more in-depth understanding of where sex addiction falls on the spectrum of addiction per se. And I think in the preliminary work that's been done by some neuroscientists have really found that there are a lot of the same kinds of changes of that one sees in the brain of anyone with addiction. Thank heavens now that we have these high-level brain scans to be able to help us understand that black box of a reward center up there in our brain and our smarty pants part of the brain, the frontal cortex, because I don't think there's any question in your mind and certainly in the mind of the researchers who are delving into this that it's a real phenomenon that you deal with it on a daily basis as an expert nationally, and that people need to be much more aware of its presence and to destigmatize and instead concentrate on treatment, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. There have been incredible advances in science in the last, really 3 to 4 years where they've shown that, scanned the brains of people struggling with pornography addiction and seen the same types of brain changes that we see in chemical dependency. There's still a lot of controversy. I think people probably, your listeners probably hear a lot, of controversy around sex addiction doesn't exist. And most of that is about what are we going to call this? I think most credible researchers at this point recognize that this is a real disorder that people are struggling with, but there is a lot of contention in the field whether it should be called an addiction or a compulsion or hypersexual behavior disorder. But we really are making advances in terms of how we're understanding the brain changes that are happening. There are many new studies that are pointing to the reward center and the dopamine system and the brain becoming very neuroplastic and changing, even seeing a reduction in gray matter in certain areas for people with pornography, really problematic levels of pornography use. And so fortunately, we're starting to just, that area of research has really just boomed in the last couple of years. So I think in the next few years, the ICD, the International Classifications of Diseases, is actually put in their draft proposal, which looks like it's going to be amended in the next version. This is the manual that physicians use to diagnose, does include a category called sexual compulsivity, narrower term sexual addiction. So it uses both the term sexual compulsivity and sexual addiction. And so, I'm hopeful that the ICD will lead the way for the DSM, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual that psychologists and psychiatrists use to actually get a diagnostic category in there to further legitimize that this is a real problem.
Oh, my gosh. Well, now there's progress, to say the least.
Yeah.
And it really makes me happy to hear that. You early on mentioned digital technology, swiping to the right, and there you are with Tinder and all the rest of it. I just simply think that that's making life very difficult for experts like you who are really looking to put together a recovery program when it's just as easy as picking up an iPhone and you're right back at it again.
Oh, yeah.
This got to be really, really tough. How do you work around that in your recovery program?
Yeah, anytime you have the increased availability of something, you have increased addiction in that area. So like more where you have more casinos, you have more problem gambling. Where you have meth labs spring up, you have more meth addiction. And now we have this digital technology everywhere where, and this is technology that our younger population was basically born with in their hands, and it's just like part of them. And so it's really difficult sometimes for people in recovery. They have to, really change their lives sometimes, and their access to technology, put, special filters in place. And there's all sorts of new apps and filters and things that are making that easier for people that don't want to have that kind of access at their fingertips. But it does require a lot of thought and planning and strategizing, and it's inconvenient sometimes for the recovering person, but they're, usually by the time you're engaging in treatment and you've really, your life has really suffered because of you know, because of this, you're willing to go to any lengths to make it better for yourself. And that means adapting your, you know, your use of technology to accommodate your recovery.
Absolutely. No question about it. Wow. First of all, I'm just thrilled to hear that you've got a teaching institute for other professionals that people out there can access help. How can they find help? How can they find a certified sex therapist?
Sure. So you can go to sexhelp.com. There is a list of treatment centers there that have certified therapists at their facilities. And then there's also a therapist locator. So you can type in your zip code and it will pull up the nearest certified sex addiction therapist in your area. And we actually have over 1,600 therapists in the network internationally. So, and most of them being in the United States and Canada. So I think your listeners should be able to find somebody in their area.
Okay. I think that it's just really important to get someone who's really an expert in the field and not just someone off the street. It's got to be someone who really knows how to be able to take the highest levels of standards of practice and gift you with that, because this is a tough field. And, you know, on the overall, if you do have this problem, how long does recovery take?
Well, we usually talk about it as a 3 to 5 year process. So it's not a short term treatment process. Unfortunately, you know, kind of putting your life together after in recovery from sex addiction is often complex. You know, the family relationships can be very damaged. Some people have had major life consequences. And so it's not only getting into recovery, but also repairing the damage done in life, and also oftentimes, as I mentioned before, healing from trauma. And so that it tends to be a long-term recovery trajectory.
Yes, yes. Okay, so in other words, the big message out there, everyone, is that this is not overnight. You don't snap a finger, and you've got to work through a process, and hopefully with a professional trained through your institute, which is just fabulous. To learn more about Dr. Stephanie Karn's work, again, please go to sexhelp.com. If you're a professional and wants to learn more about the institute, please go to, and is it IITAP.com?
Yes,
right. And mm-hmm. then also specifically Dr. Karns is working with The Meadows, and that's themeadows.com. Dr. Stephanie Karns, I cannot begin to thank you for being on the HER podcast. We will definitely be circling back with you for all things that have to do with sex addiction per se. And today we dealt with women, and we so thank you for your words of experience, expertise, and wisdom. Thank you so much, Dr. Karns.
Thank you for having me.
And everyone out there, please remember to catch every episode of HER by just hitting subscribe on iTunes or on our show page at Radio MD. And take just a second or two and rate and review us on iTunes, because I read all of these and we love to read your feedback. I'm Dr. Pam Peek. Please follow me on Twitter at PamPeekMD. And you can also check out our HER show page at RadioMD.com for all of our past episodes. Thanks for listening, and stay well.